See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Continue with our responsive invocation. The night is passing, the light has dawned, the hope of the world is ours old. God's promises are fulfilled, the new covenant is written. A virgin has borne a son, he has been called Wonderful Counselor. Angels have just announced his birth. Shepherds have seen the newborn king, the baby Jesus.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
O come, let us adore him.
Thank you.
O Holy Spirit, bless our worship this Christmas Eve. Help us to remember how dark, empty, and hopeless our lives would be without our Savior. Lead us to appreciate that He is our true light, our only hope of living in the light of our Father's eternal love. Bless this time together as we sing, listen, and pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. We review these Christmas promises from Scripture. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. This is the word and promise of our God.
Oh.
This evening, let's take the opportunity to review through word and psalm the Christmas gospel. For centuries, the Holy Spirit guided his prophets as they wrote of the Savior's birth and the joy his birth would bring to God's people. The Holy Spirit also inspired his servant, Luke, to record for us the glory of our Savior's birth. We praise God that he kept his promise to raise up a righteous branch. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the Christmas gospel of our Lord. Our worship continues with the hymn of the day this evening, "Where Shepherds Lately Knelt." The words are on page 7 in the worship booklet. Thank you.
Good evening to you, members of St. Mark's and some friends and family who are in town, dear guests from the community, and others who have gathered here to worship the newborn King. It's my privilege to bring God's word to you today to lead you in song and to lead you in prayer. I have some thoughts to share with you based on a portion of Luke's gospel. We reviewed those. I'd just like to highlight verses 8 through 11 for you. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. So is being terrified on Christmas Eve in God's house just the most absurd thing you've ever heard? Because what could be wrong right now, at this moment? Because you're here, we've prayed a little bit, we sang a little bit, we listened to God's word talk to us this evening. Regardless of how ridiculous you think that sounds, will you bear with me a little bit and humor me a little bit and hang in with me for just a little bit? Because I think there are some things that terrify us, especially at Christmas. Some of them aren't that big of a deal. Others of them are pretty big. Like maybe you are terrified that you just can't live up. Maybe you have this Christmas ideal in your brain from when you were, what, 3? And then you see it on TV how Christmas should go. There should be a brand new car sitting out in the driveway with a big bow on it. And you and 3, 4 generations should all be sitting around this massive dining room table with a carved up roast beast and all kinds of other great stuff. And all the children have their Christmas sweaters on and there's all kinds of presents under the tree and nobody is arguing, nobody is fighting, and everything is cooked to perfection. And now you're what? 33, 43, 53, 83, 93. And you think, how am I ever supposed to live up to that? Or maybe Christmas time unsettles you because you think back to a pastor or a minister or a priest who said something to you or did something to hurt your family or fouled things up, what, 3, 4 generations ago, and half of your family is still upset and has sworn up and down, "I will not ever step foot in a church, and how dare you invite me to Christmas worship?" Or maybe it's all the financial pressures that you're under. Because again, when you were a kid, it seemed like there were presents everywhere, or maybe there were presents nowhere, and it's up to you every generation to make Christmas a little bit bigger, a little bit better. And you're just, "I don't know how I'm going to do this anymore. I don't know how I'm going to keep up." I think you see a lot of people who are terrified because for 11 months out of the year, you can hide from God pretty easily. But around Christmas time, no matter where you go, there might be a Christmas carol echoing somewhere. Someone's going to have the Christmas sweater on. Someone's going to have the Santa hat on. Somebody in your neighborhood is going to put the lights up. And at least for 25 or so days, you are forced to remember, yeah, there is Christmas. And why is it do I hate Christmas? And why is it that I don't go to church? And why is it that I'm afraid to talk to God? And why is it that I'm afraid to think about God? And you do some reflection, and you go back and you think, this is what I did, this is what I said, this is who I am, and I don't want to think about God because it terrifies me to think about God. I don't know if we've touched on something that terrifies you at Christmas time or not, but let's spend just a little bit of time, see what was terrifying the shepherds, and see how God came and spoke to them of hope and peace. And then let's see if we can internalize some of that hope and peace, and by God's grace, have some Christmas hope and have some Christmas peace, not just tonight, but until Jesus himself comes back. Here's what had the shepherds all terrified. There were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. You know, at that moment, God was not someone who is out there. God was not someone who lived in the temple in Jerusalem. God was not some fable that the prophets talked about. God was not someone who was only angry at you all the time. God was God right there. The glory of the Lord shone all around them. And they could not hide. They could not excuse anything away. They could not deny it. They could not wait 11 and a half more months. It was right there, and they had to deal with it. And they were terrified being in the presence of the glory of God. And it's not like God was up in heaven and he had some sort of terrifiometer, and he was looking down on these guys, and until he got their attention, he was going to ramp it up. He's like, 65%, not good enough. 75%, not good enough. They're not scared yet. And he wasn't up in heaven saying, boy, as soon as they feel really rotten, then I'll ramp it down a little bit. And he didn't wait, 10 months, 9 months, until they really got their act together and they started going to the temple like they were supposed to. And they started opening up their Bibles like they were supposed to and doing what the prophets told them and praying with their kids and stop cheating on their taxes and start being good, faithful shepherds and good, faithful shepherd husbands and grandpas. And he didn't come with excuses either, did he? He didn't say, okay, guys, I know why it is you do what you do. I get it, you're busy, you don't have a lot of time for temple worship, you don't have a lot of time to read the Bible, and I know you're stressed out shepherds, so you're not good dads, or you're not patient husbands, and I know that you haven't always been faithful to your spouses, and that's okay, because who is? He didn't let them wallow in fear. He didn't rub their noses in anything that they had done. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and then the angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. So much better than the ways that we try and deal with being in the presence of God and excusing our shortcomings and our failures, dare we say our sins away. Or go find a group of friends that say that what you do is okay. Or buy into the excuses that we make and other people will make for us. Well, you're just human. You're just shepherds. What can God really expect of you? And God doesn't come and say, that's okay, I'll give you a pass. Or we're not going to think about it. We won't worry about it. Or we'll deal with it later. God dealt with it right then and right there. And in an instant, it's like he walked all these guys right in front of his glory and then sent them away at peace with God and forgiven. You know, just picture these guys. In just an instant, God dealt with all of them. Shepherd number one says, you know, I don't pray to you. I get really angry at you. I'm really good at that, but I don't pray to you very often. And God said, that's why this Savior was born for you. Because he always trusted. He perfectly prayed. And he died to pay for all of your sins. Shepherd number two comes up. Shepherd number two comes up and he says, you know what? I'm not a good shepherd father. I'm impatient with my kids. I don't teach them about the Lord. And he says, I'm not a good shepherd husband because I'm impatient with my wife too. And if you could just think some of the thoughts that I've had about other women, God, you would want nothing to do with me. And he says, done. I sent you a perfect Savior. And he never failed God on any level. He always kept his head, his heart, his mind, his life pure. He faithfully attended temple worship. And he died to pay for all of your sins. Shepherd number three comes up. You know what? I swiped some sheep from my neighbor. And he never found out about it. Nobody ever found out about him. And I sold it and I make a lot of money off of that. And then I found a way to hide it from the Roman tax collectors too. So I cheated on my taxes on top of that. And he says in an instant, done. Jesus never stole anything. Jesus never cheated anyone. Jesus was your perfect Savior who lived a perfect life for you. And the guilt that you're feeling, Jesus died to pay for all of it. It's all gone. God did not guilt them. God did not shame them. God did not wait, 5, 6, 7 days until they went out and got it right and came back perfect people. In an instant, he loved them And he shared good news with them. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Have you ever considered the deep questions of Christmas? Really pondered the deep thoughts? How does one guy visit every house in less than 24 hours and give everybody a present? The answer, flying reindeer is how he does that. Or have you ever thought, how does he make all those presents, especially with all the advances in technology? And the answer, magic elves make all the stuff for Santa. But now that we have advanced, we know the real reason Santa can get all that done. Amazon. But have you ever really stopped to ponder those deep questions of Christmas, the more serious ones? How does one baby, born in a manger of all places, 2,000 years ago, do anything for you and do anything for me? Well, the answer is better than flying reindeer or magic elves. It's better than an advancement in technology. It's every promise that God made to those shepherds on that day, he also makes to you. Yes, he makes it to the world. God is very clear. If you are human today, if you are breathing, if you have human DNA, these promises are for you. Many of these promises all throughout Scripture. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Are you excluded from that list? No, you're not. Other places. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Big church word, atoning sacrifice. God gets everything he wants in Jesus' sacrifice. His anger is taken away because Jesus died for sin. He's looking for perfection. He gets it in Jesus. Jesus is your atoning sacrifice. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, John writes, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Are yours excluded? Are mine excluded? One more place. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Another church world, you have two fighting parties. This guy says, I'm sorry. This guy says, I'm sorry. They shake hands. Reconciliation. Jesus paid for the sins of the whole world. There's you and me and the whole world reconciled to God because sin has been paid for. So 1 Corinthians 5, who was reconciling us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And I know you want to say, but I did this and I did that. And I know you want to say, this is who I am, and God knows that. And I know you want to say, this is how I failed and this is how I'm weak. And I shouldn't even be in God's house tonight because I'm going to go back and I'm going to do this all over again. But God has great news for you tonight. This Savior who was born for the sins of the world is your Savior. Do you like how God personalized that to each one of these shepherds? And you think they didn't have their own baggage as they stood before God Almighty? God Almighty was born for them. God Almighty shone all around them. And God Almighty took his almighty power and became a tiny little baby boy who grew up to be a perfect man, to live a perfect life for you and for me, and then he died for you and for me. So tonight, it's not just a Savior has been born for the world. A Savior has been born for you. A Savior has been born for me. I have one more question for you. How's your flock doing? Do you have a flock? Maybe some people who live under your roof? Or maybe they're a tight, close group of friends here at church? Or maybe they're just some acquaintances that you have? And how are they doing? And are they terrified? And you have some good news for them? I think you do. If some of you were here a week ago, this is kind of a repeat, but it's not as Christmas, so be generous, and let's call it a revisiting of a theme. But if you were here last Sunday, I told a little story about a little boy who was comforted, but then he didn't really know why he was being comforted. And I'm not sure if you have heard this story or not, but it comes out of New Jersey, 3-month-old, and mom and dad wanted to go out, so they left the 3-month at home with a family babysitter. Horrible accident happens. 3-month-old baby boy is in the hospital. And they come to the realization that 3-month-old baby boy is not going to live. He's on life support. And the parents make the decision that we're going to let our baby boy go because he is not going to get better. And so they started a GoFundMe page for this family. And on this page, the mom said, "I love you, Reese," 3-month-old Reese. "I love you, Reese, and hopefully there's a heaven so I'll be able to see your goofy little smile again someday." And how many people in your flocks are hoping that there's something, but they don't really know? Or they're hoping that there's something, but they can't really grab onto that hope because they're terrified about who they are and what they've done and what they think about God because they had a bad church experience? You have some good news to share with your flock. You have some good news to guide and shepherd your flock. Because how would this GoFundMe post be different if Jesus were in this post? And the good news that God shares with the world, the good news that God shared with the shepherd, was in this post? Would you still have a grieving mom and dad? Yeah. Would you still have a sad family? Yes, you would. Would you be able to fix any of that? No. Would you be able to share hope and certainty with this family? Yes, you would. The post might go something like this: "I love you, Reese, and because there is a heaven, I know you will be resting there with Jesus soon. I can't wait to see your goofy little smile again someday." That's hope. And did any of these shepherds run home and become millionaires? No. Did any of those shepherds go home to Mrs. Shepherd and everything in their house was happy and cheery because they knew the good news of Jesus? Probably not. But they did go home with hearts forgiven. They did go home at peace with God. They could not wait to go and tell everybody, because when they went to the manger, it was exactly as they heard, exactly what they were promised, and it was there. Watch out for your flocks. You know those people who need Jesus, and you know the promise he has for them. It's the same promise he has for you. A Savior has been born for the world, yes. A Savior has been born for you. A Savior has been born to guide and shepherd and comfort your flock. May God send you home confident in your relationship with him this evening. May he send you home with hope of knowing that because who the baby born is, lived and died for you, that heaven is yours. And may he guide your flock and give you peace. Amen. Please stand. We have the opportunity to witness our faith and to comfort and strengthen those with whom we are worshiping this evening. We do so by confessing our faith. This evening we have a Christmas confession of faith on page 8 in the worship booklet. Please be seated as our offerings are collected. Our worship continues on page 9 with the Christmas hymn, Silent Night. It's number 60 in the red hymnals, and the words are also printed on page 9.
Oh,
O gracious and almighty Father, we praise you that you kept your ancient promises by sending your everlasting Son in human flesh. You sent Jesus as a lowly child to demonstrate your concern for all, the weak and lonely, the troubled and frightened, the timid and helpless. No one is overlooked by your ever-seeking eyes. No one is excluded from your upholding arms. No one is denied the comfort and help of your outstretched hand. You sent Jesus as the Savior of the world to deliver all from the curse of sin, the power of death, and the torment of hell. He took our place. He was born under the law to set us free. He became the innocent Lamb of sacrifice. He came to die and rise again in order that we might live eternally. Firmly implant this good news in our hearts and fill us with an eager desire to spread the word concerning what we have heard tonight. You sent Jesus as the light of the world to drive out all darkness that would rob us of the full life that you intended for us. May the joy that will be for all people be our joy. May the peace on earth to all on whom his favor rests be our peace. May the treasure that Mary pondered in her heart be our treasure. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your will. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel.
Merry Christmas to you all, and thank you for being in God's house this evening. I pray that God blesses your Christmas celebrations. There is nothing that would terrify you before your Heavenly Father, so may that be a success already this Christmas season. There's a couple of announcements to share with you. If you are brand new to St. Mark's, if you want to grow a little closer to Jesus, study the Bible together with some fellow Christian brothers and sisters, two opportunities to do so. We have brand new Bible studies that start up here Sunday morning, starting January 8th, and there's also a Bible information class, that's a Bible basics class, and that starts later in January. All that information is listed for you on page 11 in the worship booklet. If you would like to come back later this evening, we have a completely different service at 10:30. It's a service of lessons and carols, where again we review God's promises and respond in song. And then also tomorrow morning, Christmas Day worship is at 10:30 a.m., so you can get the turkey in, you can come and worship and revisit the Christmas promise. So if those worship opportunities work for you, I would enjoy sharing Jesus with you one more time. If you would like this, you may certainly take it home with you. If you would like to leave it, we'll use these again at the next service. You can either leave them in the benches or you can hand them to an usher on your way out. Please feel free to visit with one another before you are ushered out, and I'll greet you Merry Christmas one more time in the back.